Well, this is our team. Some teams are big, some teams are small. This was a small one, small but mighty in the Lord. We left Saturday night at 10:30 and drove down to Dulles because Dave's plane, the radio wasn't working right, and so we couldn't fly. We were going to fly from any. So we drove down and got there, and what time did we get on our plane?
4:22.
Exactly. We flew through the night and got down there on February 5th with a Sunday morning. Where we flew to was El Salvador, and El Salvador means the Savior. What an awesome name for a country, huh? The Savior? I mean, come on. Anyway. We were there on Sunday morning and picked up by Janice. I got my laser pointer here. This is Janice, and she is the founder and president of Abigail Association, which oversees a number of ministries, including the ministry here at Exodo, which is an orphanage. And we'll talk more about some of the other ministries that Abigail also does in El Salvador, but she's been there. Started this ministry in 2008. She was originally from Texas and was a cancer research person for years and went on a mission trip to El Salvador, and that was all she wrote. God called her and started these ministries there, and just a wonderful woman of God. So that's Janice Watkins. Of course, Dave, Megan with her funky hat, and Luann and myself. So you can go to the next slide. There we go. So we arrived on a Sunday morning, and Brandon Hanks, who's with Netzer, told Janice, yeah, we'll do the worship for them. So these are the kids from the orphanage and some of their, what did they call them? Tias, which is like an aunt in Spanish. House mothers. And they... One lives with the boys, one with the girls, and this is their common area that they use for Sunday worship. So I think there's a video that plays. You could, is there a? No, it's this one. I think they're singing there. Anyway, go back. No, it's this one. That's okay. Anyway, Janice taught the kids to sing in English, Waymaker. Go back again. Yeah, there you go. So we had some songs prepared, like seven different praise songs. They sang. Are they singing it now? No sound.
You didn't tell me there was a video mic.
It's all right. It's all right.
You guys are making me try to look bad.
No. So they sang Waymaker in English. I don't believe they understood a lot of what they were singing, just like we didn't understand when they were speaking Spanish, of course. Everything, they knew the song, yes, and they were singing Waymaker in English. Then Luann did a, and Megan did a song, what was the name of it? We Lift Your Name on High, and they did like sign language motions, and the kids did that as well. And you can go to the next slide. They did have a guy playing guitar, go back, and singing praise songs. Go back one more, Dale. There we go. So I'm introducing Luann and Dave and Megan here. And then I had a message for the kids and the people at Exodo about being God's masterpiece. And I used the Starry Night image that Van Gogh painted, and one of the kids knew what it was. They knew that Van Gogh painted it, and they knew the name of it. I was impressed. I mean, I don't know how many kids in the United States would even know that. But I was saying how valuable this masterpiece was, basically. It sold for $111 million, and he couldn't give them away when he was painting them at the time. But and then I said, I used the passage out of Ephesians that they're God's masterpiece. And then I got out a mirror and I said, how much is this masterpiece worth? And I put this mirror in front of each of their faces. And of course, what did Jesus pay so that we could be his masterpiece? His precious blood. I mean, there's nothing more valuable than the blood of Christ. And so we were talking about their worth that God has for them, and that he is their masterpiece. They're not here by mistake. They're not mistakes, and they're beautiful, and God has purposes for them, and that was kind of the message. So, and we were kind of on fumes. It was a long day. You can go to the next slide. All right, who's going to talk now?
So the video, sorry that that didn't play on Justin. I was supposed to text Megan yesterday, and my day was just all over the place, so that's my fault our videos aren't playing. But they sang Waymaker in English, and for the director, she just cried because they did that because she has a really strong heart for them to learn English so that they become bilingual, so that when they want to find a job someday, it's going to make them three times more, a better chance to get a job by being bilingual. So, and they practiced their English, the ones that had ideas, you know, some of it, they tried to practice on this. She had Spanish, she did, oh, they did, they were, me, I'm just like, yeah.
We could get the occasional words and then we would be like, okay, we think we understand.
I did a lot of nodding and smiling. So, Janice had gotten they had had an inspection at the orphanage about 2 weeks before we came down, and then they said, oh, we'd like you to do this, 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 and one of them was to repaint the inside of the girls' dorm. So she goes, that's your first 2 days. Team, you're going to repaint the inside of the girls' dorm. The girls' dorm was this turquoise color, and the girls actually really liked it. Their building, I'm going to let you hold this because they're probably going to use it. This building, both dorms, which we were all kind of shocked about, was, you know, they had a room, but then there's a big square hole going to the sky in the middle of their dorm house just all year. It's sunny 10 months out of the year, and when it does rain, it had a little drain right where the opening was, and other than that, it was just open. They have no hot water heaters. Their houses are open. It was just fascinating. It was not Lancaster County. So we were turning this turquoise, and the reason it went to off-white is because that paint was donated. So the girls were sort of sad about that, but in the end, the house mother, Myra, talked to them about, now we've got a blank canvas, what can we paint? Mm-hmm. So it'll be curious to see what all creations they put on this blank canvas. So it was, their paint is not our paint, and it took 4 coats, and we think we got it covered. Next slide, Dale. Then Monday night, this is Monday evening, we were asked to do devotions with the boys in the boys' dorm. And so they had their Spanish Bibles. Everything was translated. And this particular night, Here. This young boy here, he was the translator. And so he did the translating. You're seeing some of them with masks on. They were not required to wear them. They just, when they came, every child there was assigned there by the government. And so they can also be taken back away, depending what happens from the government as well. But he knew English fairly well. And so she said, I want you to practice this. And so he was our translator for the Bible study. And then I talked about God's loving kindness to us and our call to be loving kind, being loving and kind to others. And then Mike talked about what it meant for the Trinity with the Father, Son, and then the Holy Spirit, and inviting him into your day, and that he will just help you in every way possible. And so we talked about that. Then the next slide, Dale. They asked us to pray over each boy. And so Dave did that section, and we asked for prayer requests, and then literally went around and literally prayed for each boy, and they received that gladly. Okay, so the next day, Dale, next one. The next day, we finished the painting project. And so you can see everything slowly turning to white. And that picture over there with Janice, one of the girls had painted painted that. So we left the turquoise border there and left that on. And other than that, I don't know how many more people we can get in one corner, but we tried it. So next picture, our next slide. When we were all done, the girls get home, well, all the students get home about 1 o'clock from school. And so with that said, they were in their dorm doing different things there at the table while we were painting. So we got to see what they were doing, and we were done. We took, Janice helped us do all the whole painting, and I think that teaches them a lot, that your director even just gets her hands dirty and gets in there and paints too. And these are all the girls in the girls' dorm. They said, let's take a picture. And so we took a picture with their newly painted dorm. And yes, we are sweaty and covered in paint. Yes. Yeah, it was basically 89 and 91 every day. Yeah. Next slide. And then that evening, we went to the girls' dorm and did devotions with the girls. Oh, in between. Thank you, Dale. In between that, they're like, come, come. Today is Janice's birthday, which we did not know. So everybody at the orphanage had a birthday party for her. They sang happy birthday and had a cake and gave her lots and lots of hugs. And they went around and said to each of the kids, like, what do you like about, what's special about Janice? Which tells you that they know her. Pretty special, really. So we were happy to celebrate that with her, and the hat was adorable. So we'll trust that Mike can figure that one out and figure out how to do it. Okay, now the next slide. So now in the evening we went to, so we had an evening with the girls' dorm. They were all a little bit older. There weren't little. There weren't like 6 or 8 or 10-year-olds. It was more like 10 to 18, 22. There were three little children there that they stayed in a separate bed. So there was a girls' dorm, a boys' dorm, and a little kid's house, and they ate in their dorms. There was not a group dining hall like I pictured in my mind. So they ate in their homes, made their meals, and they said, we need to teach them how to cook, how to help with laundry, give them life skills so when they get out, they can take care of themselves. In the evening, Mike and I did the same talks for devotions, and then Megan did the prayer time. You can go to the next slide. Megan did the prayer time then in the evening as we prayed individually for every girl, and we asked for prayer requests, and their hearts are sincere, and there's just something lovely about these girls. There just is. They have a beautiful spirit. They are family as a family unit there, and that was pretty special. I think you can go to the next slide, Dale, and I think that's the end of me.
All right, so Wednesday was kind of a road trip day. This was unique because up until this point, we were pretty much just painters the first 2 days and devotionals in the evenings. So this day we started, if I remember right, we were up at 5, maybe it was even. It was much earlier start, and it was to beat the traffic. And you can see in the far right picture there, we did not beat the traffic. We were stuck in traffic around the south end of San Salvador. I'm not even sure of all the towns. So we were in the map here. We were like the center of the map. But we were heading, we stayed here. Megan, please correct my pronunciation, where we were staying.
Olaquilta.
Okay.
That's the one
that's the one you mastered. All right, I can say San Salvador, that I can say. So we went up around San Salvador, and we were heading to Cabañas. I think I said that right? Okay. So through large city, I think San Salvador is like 2 million-ish people. Does that sound right? It's a very large city. It's kind of nestled between some volcanoes and very mountainous, beautiful country. But along the way, you see this picture of the dogs. We found this so fascinating. There were, for at least a mile and a half, maybe further, dogs that were like lining the street and just like hanging out there. And we're like, what is going on? Well, apparently there's a bread truck that goes a route there, and these dogs are waiting for the bread truck. But yeah, some of them were like limping with the third leg, got run over, and it's like it's a miracle these dogs even survive, because there's cars whizzing around these windy roads. I just found that fascinating that these dogs are all like waiting for breakfast as we're driving to Cabañas. But yeah, it was just very, very unique thing that I found interesting. So we drove up into a more mountainous area. I'm not sure what all the slides are, but as we drove here, the roads got very windy, and it was rural and driving through farmlands. We saw sugarcane, corn, other crop farming, small farms like you would expect. Continue to the next slide. So this is at Cabañas. This is I believe it's a senior center, but it may be more of a multi-function room. So I found it interesting when we got there. We don't have a picture of the sign, but even a local organization called GAIN had donated funds there, I guess, because their name was on the placard along with a lot of other organizations you may have heard of. So it's not just the Abigail Foundation that's doing this, it's multiple ministries all kind of funneling funds to facilities like this. So what this day was I'm not sure how to characterize it, a senior center. It was older people, and one of the things Janice warned us, she said, oh yeah, all the men are gonna carry their machetes with them. This is not from El Salvador, but if you don't know what a machete looks like, I would kind of compare it to like they were carrying their pocket knife, but you know, very large pocket knife. If you've never seen a machete.
Leather sheets.
Yeah, they would have a leather sheet, not a towel. But yeah, they were all carrying their machetes and a sheath and kind of like carrying it separate. And it was like, that seems a little odd for Americans. So whether it was like for self-defense or it was just that if they needed to whack something on the way, they had a tool, I'm not really sure. They didn't actually unsheath their machetes, so I don't know what these older citizens did with their machetes, but yeah, they were carrying them. Kind of intimidating if you're not used to it, I guess. So I spoke about Paul's just encouraging them that we can be joyful in spite of our circumstances. So it was just neat being able to be part of that. And you see me up there with Janice translating, because I don't think any of the people there understood any of my English. So everything had to be translated. Their pastor or their leader there read the scriptures in Spanish so they would understand what I was talking about. And actually the leader here, I forget his name now. There you go, Pablito. He had asked me if I wanted to play guitar. It's like, no. I at least figured that out, what he was trying to ask. It's like, no, I'm not going to play guitar for you. It's kind of take me out of my comfort zone. So, we, after this, then made American hamburgers for them. Which I kind of found a little bit odd. It's like they like American hamburgers, but they sat very respectfully. And one thing about their culture is when they're served a meal, just because the meal is in front of them, they will not eat until everyone is served. It was just very interesting in that way to see, yeah, their culture coming out, that they were just very respectful of each other and waiting till all were served and then they would eat. So yeah, this is just some pictures of the burgers we served them. Mike was the cook, trying to keep up with however many you cooked. I don't even know what the count was. Yeah, it was a lot of burgers. So So who? Yeah, they wouldn't have been good.
He was ministering, and I was.
Which David are you referring to?
But yeah, it was just very interesting to see, and just to see their culture. Their culture is very family oriented. That's one of the things we discovered with even at the orphanage, that it was just really, really neat to see that. So I think you can go next slide.
It's a real treat for them to get a meal, a burger, and chips and some cookies and like a fruit punch. And it's a big meal. And they walk for miles to get there.
Yeah, okay, this is still my talk. So on the way back then from speaking there, we drove through some typical towns, which you can see some of the pictures. Just fascinating being in another country and just seeing how it's not like here. You can see Megan cutting a coconut, being very native there. We did drink some coconut juice, or whatever we're going to call it, water out of the coconuts. So that was kind of fun to experience that. Here you can see we're holding our coconuts with straws sticking out of them. Oh, yeah, in public transportation, this was very typical to see that they would, like, weld, like, bars around the tops of a truck, and they would just stand holding on, and also, like, construction workers would be, like, laying on a load of lumber, just, like, taking a nap on top of a truck that's moving. It was just very strange by U.S. standards to see, you know, we're all safety conscious. They were just kind of, unconscious of what was going on, But that was very interesting. Plus, I don't know if there's pictures of their tricked out buses, but yeah, that was an interesting thing too. Someone might talk about. But yeah. Next slide, I guess.
Yeah, these buses they get from like public schools in the United States, and then they drive them there, and then they paint them and trick them out with all these lights and fins and you name it, spoilers, and they use them as their business and take people where they need to go because gas is so expensive and their income is not very good. So this is an almond.
Cashew.
So this fruit up here that you see, the red fruit, underneath it's a little thing hanging. Inside that's a cashew. And that's why cashews are so expensive, because there's not that many. And that's the cashew before, that's a nut inside there that she's holding in her hand. Any rate, this particular day, is this when we went to? Okay, yeah. We went into San Salvador to a building which they're renting at a great price that they've fixed up for a Bible Institute. You can go to the next slide. Other way. Good to see you, man. Welcome. One more. There we go. This is why we ended up going to El Salvador, and to begin with, because we're connected with Netzer, and Tim is our apostle for New Beginnings, and Janice was in contact with Tim and Netzer because there was such a need for the pastors in El Salvador to be trained. Most of them only went to like eighth grade, and they learned the Bible and from the people that were before them, and they just didn't have a lot of knowledge about the Word. And so there's a great need for pastors to be trained. And so Janice called up Tim and Netzer to ask if they could be in cooperate with them to do this. And it was God's purposes for this all to be happening. And so they raised up some people in El Salvador to teach it. And Tim and Brandon Hanks, who also comes here, are giving that oversight, and it's called Roots Bible Institute. So this is the first class that's meeting there. They meet there a couple of days a week, and the first graduating class is going to be finishing up here in another month or so. And so this is a big deal, what's going on. And so this building is right downtown in San Salvador, right on a bus route, and easy for a lot of the pastors to access to get there. And it's a beautiful old building from the 1930s. And she said, we looked at several places, and they were three times as expensive and trashed, just bad. And then this one came available for just a fraction of the cost, and it was nice, right on right spot. It was God's work. And so as the enemy works, always, in trying to disrupt things, this Bible Institute, the first two El Salvador-led people that were teaching it and running the institute there had to be asked to leave for reasons they got into things they shouldn't have been into. And so now Brandon Hanks is having to go down to finish the first class, and they're looking and they're praying, that's a prayer request, for a new person from El Salvador to give leadership to this. So two leaders had to be asked to go in the first year of this program because of sin in their lives. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But the enemy doesn't want it to go, but it's going. So, pray for this Bible Institute that it'll continue to go. So Brandon's going to be going down the next 2 months here, like several times, and he's going to have an interpreter with him because he's going to finish the sessions. You can go to the next slide. So this is an awesome thing that's going on. That same day, we met with Nick Meyer, who's in up above Luann there at the end of the table with the blue symbol on a gray T-shirt. He's from Chickies, and he was there with a team with Elijah and Sam, a team of three of them. They're working with local kids there in San Salvador and an after-school program. Their school basically just goes in the morning, and they're doing things with the kids all afternoon until dinner time. So they were down there several weeks before we got there, but we met up with them. We brought art supplies because Nick was asked to teach art lessons. So he didn't have any supplies, so we brought down some art supplies with our carry-on stuff because he said it would take months to ship it there, and it's very expensive. So we carried some things down. We met up with him at a restaurant and had lunch with him, and we got a chance to pray over him and his two friends and their ministry there in San Salvador. So that was a neat connect for us. If you have any questions, ask anytime. So let's go to the next slide. This is looking over San Salvador, yes, and it's surrounded by volcanoes. Inactive.
Here's what I found.
Active volcanoes. One was just erupting a month ago, one of the volcanoes. So it's, she said, it only erupts like once every 100 years. I said, when was the last time it erupted? 100 years ago. So you don't know. It could be any day. So these are some sites looking over San Salvador. You can go to the next slide. So Janice, at the end of that day, she took us on top of a volcano to a restaurant called, how do you say it? What does it mean? Do you know?
It's like Touch of Heaven.
Touch of Heaven. Okay. We went up these roads that were, it seemed to be almost like 38 degree incline or something. They were so steep. I thought, it was so steep to get up to this restaurant. And then we treated Janice to dinner. And this is the view we had out over the city of San Salvador up there as we had our, this was a fondue with cheese, and they brought out the fondue thing had actual real coals of wood inside to keep it warm. Next slide. Other way. Sorry, Dale. So, who's up next?
You are. Friday.
Friday also? Okay, Friday the 13th. Well, it wasn't a bad day for us. It was a good day. One of the things Janet sensed we should do is to pray. And Friday morning we spent hours in prayer for San Salvador, for El Salvador, the whole nation, for their new president, which has cleaned up the gangs, put them all in prison. That's a whole nother story. But we prayed for Abigail Association and all the things that covers, including the orphanage, the senior centers, the medical outreaches, the Bible Institute, all these things come under the Abigail umbrella, and we covered all them, and we prayed for Janice as well and some of her administrators and people that are doing the actual ministry. And it was a real fruitful time. Each of us prayed, and I gave Janice to a word that the Lord gave me for her before I went down, and I had it typed up and printed and gave it to her. So this is a retreat center where we actually stayed. This is like a big patio. We ate up here underneath this area, and this is the view out over from where we were staying at this retreat center. This is the ocean. So it was a really neat view. There was a bunkhouse for the guys and a bunkhouse for the women, and then the central eating area, which was under this like pavilion kind of thing. They had some local ladies there be our cooks, and so we didn't cook our own meals. They cooked them for us. That was where we stayed. This is at the orphanage at Exeter. This is another portion of that. Somebody gave them like 26 acres of land where they actually made the orphanage and put these different buildings for the kids to be housed. They also have a building for transitional ministry for the kids that are older. There's some kids that are there in their, they're not kids anymore, they're young adults, they're in their early 20s, and they're there and they're getting jobs. Some of them are going to college. One's going to be an electrical engineer. He speaks English and real intelligent kid. And so they're doing the right thing to help these kids get on the right track. So it's good to have somebody who knows about refrigeration. Okay, next slide. Oh, still me, goodness. So we noticed the people in El Salvador, they just live differently than we do. Of course, when you look at the roads around here, it's pretty littered too, a lot of places. And it was just trash everywhere. I mean, we saw at that one medical clinic we were at, the little kid ate a thing in a paper, and he walked over to the door and just chucked the paper outside. That's just how they do it. And so inside the orphanage, around the orphanage, and then this road is about a tenth of a mile or a little longer maybe out to the main road where the entrance is. It was just trash. And so we just spent good part of the afternoon just picking up trash, and that's what we're doing there. I don't think the kids really understood what we were doing or why we were doing it, but we had this need in us to get it cleaned up, and so that's what we're doing there. Yep.
So then Janice asked us to spend the afternoon playing with the kids. So we did a variety pack of stuff here. Mike did caricatures for the kids, drew them, and that was kind of new to them, and they just had a good laugh watching him draw them, you know, with the big head and the little body. We played soccer. Dave and I nicknamed the field Field of Defeat. They just ran around us, but that's okay. We had fun. I made them feel good. We jumped rope. We played basketball. Swinging with the kids. Dave and the one house mother just were dressed alike that day, so that's what that cute little picture was. And you can switch slides a while, Dale, while I'm talking. And so we just spent several hours with them. One time I went over, and they were just in two lines on the basketball court, and I said, "What are you playing?" And they're like, "Volleyball." Like, can't you tell? Like, there's no net. They didn't care. And then it's done, everybody's given, they're like, group hugs, group. I mean, you see them, they hug you, you leave, they hug you, you're in the middle and they hug you. They are just a hugging bunch, and that's just who they are, and it's just, it's neat and it's fun. It really is. Next slide. I think we're, yep.
All right, so Saturday was our last full day in El Salvador, as Sunday was spent traveling majority of the day. We began slightly earlier in the morning, I don't know, around 6 a.m., 7 a.m., we left to meet up with their mobile medical clinic team, who are continuously going around a couple days each week where they go to different locations around the country. And that is actually in association with Hand of Hope with Joyce Myers Ministries. That Abigail and Joyce Myers Ministries, they work together for that clinic. They have a team that goes out regularly. And then there are churches that will open up and just by word of mouth say, our church is available if you'd like to come set up our clinic. So they have a box truck and another truck that they fill up everything they need for dentistry, their doctors, their pharmacy. Everything goes inside the truck. They load everything up. Everything's packed in bins. And then we drove out, and they do ministry each time. So we were helping with their ministry team mostly. We followed the box truck. We got a little guide once we got far enough out of the city that we got to a dirt road, and the little guy on his motorcycle waved us down, and we all followed him back into wherever rural area we were in with very large and interesting roads. What we followed the box truck. The box truck goes everywhere, so if the box truck can make it, everyone else can. And when we got there, there was already quite a large line of a lot of children there with either grandmothers, aunts, mothers, all waiting to be checked in. You can go for your next slide then.
All free.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's free, including the meds and antibiotics and whatever. It's all provided.
Yep. Their cost, they say, is while you may wait for your meds, you give your prescription to someone who takes it over to pharmacy, and you got to go get prayed for. That's the only requirement. Go to ministry, then you can go pick up your meds. Abigail Association also has two clinics that are actually in buildings. Both of those, it costs $2 to get in. And if you don't have $2, they'll let you in anyway. But they said they asked for $2 because people want to give something. So this is, they have one nurse who checks everyone in. They get their temperature taken, get weighed. They get sent to a waiting area. Where someone will direct them to whenever. This is one of the doctors. Up here, they had three doctors there that day. They have different doctors who switch out, so everybody gets days off. And they were fantastic. I could not get over how efficient everybody with this whole team was, where they knew what they were doing. The doctors took their time making sure they checked everyone out fully and correctly, but then they would just keep things moving. As soon as a chair was empty, somebody was pointing to the chair and people are moving. They give your papers. We took turns of who was where. Papers to take over to the pharmacy where they were. It was a lot of sorting medicines. As you can see, Luann is down here helping sort, I think it was amoxicillin, into different baggies for them to give to people. And they have their shoe racks that they stuff everything in those. They have their bins, since it all gets packed up, that you put the prescription in there. They go up to ministry to get prayed for. And then they come over. They pick up their meds. And they can go on their way unless they need to go to the dentist, which you can go to the next slide. Which the dentist, it was just fascinating. So this is where they set up their little dental clinic where they cannot do fillings, but they can do extractions. And they just had those fancy lawn chairs that lean back. So they pack neatly into the truck and they set everything up and then they can do whatever they need to do. We also have the dogs. Dogs are the common protectors. Everybody has a dog. Specifically, all the kids, there are dogs just all around them. They're in and out of the buildings. They go wherever those they're protecting go. These are more pictures of us packing meds, children waiting with their parents or other caregivers. These are the other two doctors here serving people at their little various stands. This is... At one point, we would have our prayers translated because obviously our Spanish is not good enough to fully understand what they are needing prayer for. This was the point where it got slow and Janice left me. And this poor man, Manuel, had to suffer through me trying to pray in Spanish. It was very brief and not the best prayer you've ever heard. But yeah, he was great because he understood just enough English that we were sort of getting by with communication there. It was also fascinating. Every single building we were in has fantastic tiles. Every single one, no matter where we were at. This was inside the church we were at, out inside the rural town. It was around Penryn-sized for just for knowledge. But in the city, everywhere had fantastic tile that if it gets broken, you can take an old tile to their factories and they will produce the tile again for you. They will remake what you have. You can go to the next slide then. All right, so then we got back to the retreat center a little, like early afternoon, a little bit after lunch, and all the kids had not had an official chance to say goodbye, and we had not had a chance to say goodbye to them. So they had us all gather in the chapel again. We said goodbye. These are two of the Tias. This is Tia Elizabeth. She is from the boys' house, or she is their caregiver, their primary caregiver. and I forget this woman's name. She was giving Tia Myra, who's the typical older girl's caregiver, a day off, because they do have people that cycle through and give people days off. And there's Mike and Luann with some of the girls again. We said goodbye to them, and they presented us with gifts, which was very sweet, because we had not prepared anything for them. The boys' cabin gave us cards. Yes, and they specifically wrote it in English so we could understand. And every single boy there signed it. The girls gave us bracelets and the guys' keychains, because they decided the guys probably didn't want bracelets. After that, we went and met up with Juanita, who helps with Abigail Association with Janice. She had been away traveling doing other things while we were there, so we only got to meet her on this last full day, which was fantastic to meet her, fantastic lady. So we shared dinner together that night, and that's Luann and I at the Pacific. That was the one day we actually got close enough that it was, you could see the true vastness that is the Pacific. Okay, you can go ahead to the next slide then. Oh, yes. Thank you, everyone, for supporting us and praying for us. Is there closing comments?
I'd like to say this. When Scott had us break up the week before we left, each of you were assigned one of us four. And we want to specifically say thank you for that. That was very meaningful. We knew you were praying for us. I was apprehensive about going until after that Sunday and that whole week before. I was completely at peace about going, and I know that was because of prayer. And so we mean it when we say thank you. And I was happy to send out that little things about what we're doing, because when you pray for someone, you kind of want to know what's going on and you enjoy following it. So we sincerely mean thank you.
Those things. I would just say in conclusion, yeah, it was a great time to go. I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, one of the things, and talking about answered prayer, I had read that El Salvador was one of the places that, I forget what website I was almost saying about how unsafe it is for Americans to go there, that, yeah, it was one of the higher danger levels for going there as an American. So I wasn't sure how that would be handled, but it's just interesting. Their politics right before we got there, I think it was around Christmas time, they had rounded up, I believe it was 60,000 gang members. So you can imagine how many people were part of gangs. And basically the criteria that they told us was when they arrested people, it would be like if you had a gang tattooed, like if you had MS-13 or MS-19 tattoo on your body, you're now sitting in jail in El Salvador, which is kind of maybe overreaching, but the government was just getting serious about cracking down on gangs. So for us, as you know, from a safety perspective, it was an answer to prayer that we didn't even know was happening prior to our arrival. But they said prior to us being there, some areas we just would not have been able to even drive through at night. I mean, I think Janice said during the day you could still do it, but just very unsafe, especially we would be targets probably. So it was an answer to prayer, again, that we didn't even know was happening prior to our getting there. So it was just neat to see how that worked as well. Anything else?
Yeah, it was just fantastic getting to meet. It's different when you hear about all these different outreaches, but it was just very special to me to be able to see each thing, see the directors. Like the director of the orphanage is newer in her position, Claudia. She was amazing. Just getting to meet all these different people that lead these different outreaches, and just how fantastic they are and how much they have a heart for God. Like the leader of the medical clinic, he, when doing ministry, he'll just take a whole group of people and just have them all praying. It was just very cool to see.
At that medical outreach, I think they served close to over 300 people. And like 17 came to the Lord that day through the ministry between being seen by the doctor and picking up their meds and things. And so, yeah, God is moving in El Salvador and all around the world.
Thank you for praying for us, but we were not suffering.
No.
To clarify, we didn't know what to expect. We were expecting more of a third world experience, which we did, but not where we stayed. Janice, the director, felt very, very strongly, and it was just her thing, that I want people to come to be at a good place, a safe place, and they controlled everything we ate. And
actually, the Exito compound has fencing, barbed wire fencing, electric fencing, and razor wire all around it, and they have armed guards. They have people there 24/7 watching over the place, so it's like, and since the gang members are rounded up, I mean, really, it was overkill at that point, but we felt very safe in the place we stayed, and I think we could encourage others to go and not feel like they're going to be at risk for their lives, but the Lord was gracious and is working and moving, and so praise the Lord. The name of the Lord is being praised in a country called the Savior, El Salvador. Oh, all the gang members have these tattoos. So anybody with a tattoo is in jail. Some of those gang members came to the Lord and were pastors of churches, but they still had the tattoos. They were also thrown in jail with the gang members. And it's illegal to take them off in El Salvador. And so they are now going to be the rest of their life in jail because of that tattoo. But they'd probably be serving the Lord in the jails with all those gang members that need to know the Lord. So yeah, it's sobering reality. Janice said right before we came, one of the gang members, one of the leading members, was trying to escape the country. He was in a hearse inside a coffin where they found him. He wasn't dead, but just trying to get out of the country through this casket. It's crazy, but they got him. So... any other questions you may have? Along with everybody else, thank you for your prayers and for your support for helping us to get there. So we hope to maybe go another year and do this again. Well, they had... really three houses. One was with the girls. The girls were generally older. The boys were kind of a little bit younger in age. And then he had another third house where the younger kids went. They have babies there, and 1 and 2 year olds were in that house. And so and then he had another house, which is called transitional housing for the kids that are in their 20s. They stay there because they're going out and going to jobs or to a university. And so it's a combination of things.
Devotions and stuff, but they had their own place where they stayed. They cooked quite a few of them.